am sitting in a studio in Monroe, Washington, a small town far outside of Seattle, where I'm here to teach you everything that I can about speech sound development in children with severe expressive speech disorders. We are going to be talking about children with apraxia and those with dysarthria and severe phonological impairment. And before we start, let's offer some simple definitions of these, not scientific definitions like you would find in a medical dictionary, but the kind of definition that will help you as a parent or a therapist to understand what the basic need is of these children. In the introductory chapter of your book, you will find definitions of apraxia and dysarthria, and you can read those later. But now, I'd like to define apraxia simply, very simply, as a problem in the production of sound. Children with apraxia have a severe lack of sound, and that is the thing to keep in mind as we're going through this whole program. They just can't seem to figure out how to get their body to do what they want it to do in order to make speech sounds. Apraxic children tend to be very silent as babies, and continue to be fairly quiet even as toddlers. Usually expressive speech begins to develop sometime between 2 and 3, and sometimes as late as 4 or 5 years of age. Lack of sound is their primary disabling characteristic. And with a lack of sound, we of course have a lack of words and a lack of phrases and a lack of sentences. Dysarthria, on the other hand, is a severe distortion of sound. Dysarthric children in the long run will have more difficulty with intelligibility because of the way in which they distort sound. The most outstanding example of that is the child with cerebral palsy, who through the long term of his life will learn to speak many words and phrases and sentences and can become completely a verbal child, but all along will have distortion of sound so that he will be difficult to understand depending on the severity of the condition. So therefore, apraxia being a lack of sound is kind of different from dysarthria being a distortion of sound. However, even children with severe dysarthria have very few sounds when they are young, and so therefore they look apraxic when they're in the younger years. And of course, some of our children are both apraxic and dysarthric. We are also going to talk about children with severe phonological impairment. And these are children for whom the motor speech system is intact, but who do not understand the rules of combining phonemes into the complex kinds of sequences that they need to for words and phrases and so forth. You can read those definitions in your book, but what we want to keep in mind throughout the whole program is what we're talking about in the case of both apraxia and dysarthria and severe phonological impairment is a significant lack of sound during the early years. And it is this lack of sound that prevents these children from gaining expressive speech the way other children do. The material in this program is divided into 7 stages. And the 7 stages are outlined. You'll see them in several places in the book. You'll see them in the table of contents. You'll see them in Appendix 1, as where we have an outline of the entire program. And you'll see them in Appendix 2. Appendix 2, perhaps, is the easiest place to get an overview of the program. So if you'd like to turn in your books there, that would be a good idea right now. Appendix 2 shows the 7 stages of phoneme development, and you can see the 7 stages designated by the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 on the left-hand side. Each stage is given a name. For example, stage 1, preparing, stage 2, speechifying, stage 3, honing, and so forth. And then under each stage, you can see there are individual boxes that describe specific, what we are going to call, action skills through the program. Back in 1978, I had the good fortune of hearing a lecture by Dr. David Kimbrough Aller, and I read a paper that he wrote, and he described the stages of vocalization that an infant goes through between birth and 12 months of age. And he described in that work how little babies learn to organize themselves in such a way that they learn increasingly advanced sounds during those first 12 months. From 1978 until today, I have been applying that information to children with severe expressive speech disorders, and I have discovered that our children go through the same basic stages. They just take longer to go through each stage. Children with severe apraxia and dysarthria and severe phonological impairment have overall a lack of speech sound development, and it is those speech sounds that occur during the pre-speech stages that they are lacking. What we're going to do in this program is we are going to go through each of these stages, 1 through 7. The early ones will take a little bit longer because they are the foundational stages, and the later stages we'll go through more quickly. Before we get into the specifics of each stage, I'd like to give a summary, especially for those non-speech listeners, non-speech and language pathology listeners, to overview the sounds that the child with apraxia, dysarthria, or severe phonological delay have to learn. And we're talking about the material that are in tables 3, 4, and 5 of the introduction of your text. Table 3 specifies the vowels that are necessary in the English language, and you see them listed from front to back to central. The vowels are listed and sample words. So if you don't know the phonetic transcription of the vowels there, you can simply read the sample words and learn what the vowels are. So for example, the front vowels, e, I, a, e, a, as in the words beat, bit, bait, bet, bat, and so forth. Then if you look at table 4, these are diphthongs. These are modifications of vowels. And they are I, ow, oi, and u. Children have to learn all of these vowels and diphthongs in order to become intelligible. Table 5 then outlines all the consonants. So I know as a parent or a teacher or a relative of a child with a speech disorder, it can seem like they have so much to learn that it will be impossible for them to ever learn it. But if you really see the specific sounds they have to learn, it's not an unending list. It is a very definite list that has an end. And this kind of gives us an idea of where we're going here. Children need to learn stops, nasals, glides, and what I'm going to call in this program, the hissing sounds. And for speech and language pathologists, I'm using that term hissing to represent all the fricatives and affricates, regardless of whether they're considered strident or not. So you can see this list here, and there are sample words for non-speech people to read this so you can understand where we're going. This program is a description of how children gain all of these sounds. And by the end of our program, for a child who makes it through the entire program, we should have a child who not only is completely intelligible, but who has gained the ability to produce all of these vowels, diphthongs, and consonants. And now we're ready to begin the program. I'm going to start with stage 1, of course, and then run through each stage. As we go through each one, we will talk about, first we will name the stage and we will give a definition of it, and then we will talk about the specific action skills within each stage. The specific action skills are where we're going to spend the most time, and we're going to describe not only what they are, but how we can facilitate them.